Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the show. I want to start a little bit of a series for the next few episodes to talk to you about national events and things that are going on that are relevant to our investments. And they are in most cases related to the diversification of our portfolio. So anybody who's been following me, reading the articles and blog posts and, you know, other opportunities to hear how I think our money should be invested. And in my case, and for my family, is actually invested, is in the following way. We have about 70% of our investments in residential real estate, like single family homes mainly. Then we have 10% in gold and silver coins and 10% in Bitcoin and stocks. And then the last 10% or thereabouts in cash. So that's kind of like the spread for our money. And obviously the numbers fluctuate a little bit, but that's fundamentally the layout. And I mentioned that in one of those 10% packages, I said Bitcoin and gold coins and silver coins. And so there's something important happening. And I'm not quite sure if it has already happened by the time you're listening to this episode or it's about to happen. And what I'm talking about is the Bitcoin halving. And you may never have heard about the Bitcoin halving, but I want to explain to you real quick what it is, why it's relevant. And for anybody who follows the spread of investments, like 70, 10, 10, 10, then it would affect you as well, because you would in that case then also have Bitcoin. So what is halving and what does it really mean? For that to make sense, you have to understand that Bitcoin has similarities to gold in the sense that it is rare. Now, you know that Bitcoin is a digital currency and gold is a physical metal that is being mined out of the ground. But this digital currency is also mined. And a lot of people, if you've been following around, have always said, well, I don't really understand how there is value in the Bitcoin. And if you ask yourself, well, why is there value in gold or gold coins or gold bars? And there are two things that give something value. The one aspect is the price, the equivalency of any kind of other thing that has value, like in our case, for example, dollar bills. And how many dollar bills are we generally willing to exchange, for example, for an ounce of gold, right? Or for a silver coin or for anything like that. That's basically the price that something can reach based on supply and demand. If we all want to have silver coins, then the price of silver coins is going to go up just because we're willing to put more of our dollar bills against a silver coin. So that's the one aspect. The other aspect is how rare or how common is it? And we all know that gold and silver are pretty rare. It takes a huge effort of mining and machinery and refining and so forth. So all that effort goes into getting basically an ounce of gold out of the ground to turn it into a coin. And so the fact that it takes this huge effort to find something really rare also gives it value. And if you take the equivalency to Bitcoin, that's what comes in. When Bitcoin was created as basically a concept, founders said, we create this Bitcoin, this digital currency, and because of the mathematical formulas that have been created for this, there will never be more than 21 million Bitcoins. That's the total. Now, to increase the value of each Bitcoin that has ever come into existence, you want to keep it rare and you want to put a lot of effort to get one. And this is where the mining comes in. Now, Bitcoin mining works a little different than getting a shovel. Bitcoin mining works in the way that you set up computers that run calculations on very specific computer chips or semiconductors. And if they solve a certain calculation, a certain algorithm correctly, then a coin is awarded. Now, when Bitcoin first came out, the algorithm, the calculation, the mathematical problems to solve were comparatively easy. So the computers that ran those calculations were hitting on a successful completion of a calculation relatively often, which means if you say, okay, well, I put like the equivalent of how much energy a house uses in a year into the calculations that the computer is running, and I get one Bitcoin every time, then the Bitcoin has that value for the effort put in. Then the system also has halvings, and we are just about at one or have just passed one. And what that means is the calculations change, and it is twice as hard as it was before. So let's say right now, like I said, on average, a house costs $300,000, and you have to put in $300,000 worth of energy to get one Bitcoin. And after the halving, it takes $600,000 of effort, energy, to get one Bitcoin. Now you might say, hey, how can this be? The Bitcoins right now are trading at somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000 per coin. But keep in mind, the effort is only one thing. The other thing is, what is the price that we're willing to pay? And obviously, if you take this forward, and some people have calculated that the last of the 21 million Bitcoins will probably be mined around 2040. So if we say now we're in 2024 and we just had a halving, so there will be one more halving in 2028, one in 2032, one in 2036, and then probably the last one in 2040. And by that time, the very vast, vast majority of the 21 million Bitcoins will have been mined. Now, obviously, since after that, none come into existence anymore, it is really a matter of how much is each of them valuable. And if we know anybody who is into this space, will know over time, some Bitcoins are being lost. And you can think about it like when you, for example, go to regular gold and say, okay, is all the gold that has ever been mined still in existence? And the answer is, well, it might be, but not in a usable way, right? Like if you, for example, put a very thin layer of gold as a protection on all these devices that we have put into space, like when you see a satellite or even from the Apollo days, there were always gold foil used to protect the electronics. So that gold foil, or the gold that is basically on that foil, is lost. It's somewhere in space. So yes, it still exists in the universe, but it's not accessible to us anymore. And in many ways, there have been all kinds of different applications. You know, people have lost gold rings when they were on a cruise and it fell into the ocean and sank to the ocean floor and stuff. So a little bit of gold is lost every year. But the good thing is with gold, we can mine more. And even though it's rare, there's always a little bit of mining going on where even though the effort gets harder and harder, more gold can be brought out of the ground. Now with Bitcoin, when the 21 billion coins have been mined, that's it. And a few are being lost every year. So you can see that the value of each coin is basically going up. And one of the things that you can do if you have 10% Bitcoin, gold coin, silver coins in your portfolio is accumulating them, knowing that in the future, since we are long-term buy and hold investors, these coins are going to increase in value. And one of these pivot points is right now, because with the halving, it becomes twice as hard to get a coin, which should actually mean that the existing coins also increase in value in the next few years. So I wanted you to be aware of it, partially with a little bit more of an explanation of what's really going on. How rare is Bitcoin really, and how does it all work? Because I know that a lot of people are still on the fence, especially the politicians are constantly telling us that Bitcoin is not a real thing, even though the regulators have just recently approved Bitcoin as a commodity. So if you have, for example, a 401k plan, or you're investing in ETFs or stuff like that, you can now actually officially, with the blessing of the US government and regulators, have Bitcoin in your regular portfolio. That tells you a little bit that it has now transitioned from being something kind of odd and nobody really understood to a regular investment opportunity, just like gold and silver coins and other things like that. So if you don't have any of it in your portfolio yet, you want to start paying attention to it, and you can slowly over time, just like everything else, start accumulating it. But be aware that with the halving that either has happened or will happen imminently here, that the prices will most likely continue to go up. Now, the other thing is supply and demand still plays a role, right? When you say, okay, last year the Bitcoin was at like 30,000, now it's at 60,000. That's a lot of volatility. And that is definitely true. But that is more like how much money are people willing to give? And the more it gets accepted and the rarer it gets and the more it's approved by regulators, the more money will people give. So we are in this situation where it's still early on. So you still have an opportunity. And I personally am convinced that by 2040, which might sound like it's far away, but it's really not that far away. It's 16 years. And you will see, if you are through a good part of your life, 15, 16 years goes by much, much faster than we anticipate. So be aware of it. If you like to add it to your 10% of gold coin, silver coin, Bitcoin, then I would encourage you to slowly accumulate and be aware that it's most likely over longer periods of time going to increase in value. So that's it for today. Be well, stay safe, and I talk to you tomorrow.